It's Wednesday, May 21st, 2014, and you're listening to episode 340 of Through the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 32 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name's Chad.
That's right. You guys are getting the extra special Dan and Chad, or Chad and Dan, if you prefer, a show, because everybody else is a bitch ass and
that's
didn't
right.
show.
A punk.
Yeah. Or buffalo, if you...
Buffalo.
So, all right. Two off-topic things here that we just have to get out on the mics. First of all, Chad just introduced me to something I've never seen before, which is the buffalo sentence.
The buffalo sentence, man.
And
that's
I'll have
awesome.
To link this because I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. It is a sentence that consists of the word buffalo 9 times in a row.
Is it 9 times?
Let me get a count. Let's see. It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, it's 8 buffaloes.
8 buffaloes right. in a row.
Yeah, all the sentences is buffalo, 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 buffalo. It's all it is.
Yep.
But it is a grammatically correct and meaningful sentence.
Yes. It isn't random. It isn't just nonsense.
Yeah, it actually is a real sentence. I had never seen or heard this before, and it has now completely blown my mind. I will link it. I'll link it in the show notes. There's a Wikipedia article that explains it and breaks down.
Oh, they have like flow charts for
yeah.
it and everything.
And they show you the parts of speech yeah. and why it works and it's insane. And I think part of the reason that I struggled with this is I couldn't come up with a way to use buffalo as a verb. I was yes. not aware there's a verb buffalo,
yeah. buffaloes,
which means to bully.
Buffaloes buffalo each other.
Yes.
Which means they bully each other. They butt heads and stuff.
Right, right.
Buffaloes buffalo.
So the second thing is, so Chad and I were out at dinner before recording. Yeah, as we all
and there was a buffalo.
Buffaloing.
There from were buffalo.
Buffaloes. Buffalo, buffalo, buffalo. No, we were at sushi. So several years ago, Chad and
many
yeah,
years.
Yeah, all right.
Ago.
So this was over a decade ago or thereabouts. Chad and I were working on a game that one of these years I ought to dust off and do something with because we liked miniature war games. We were getting tired of dropping huge amounts of money and painting all that crap to have any entry into a tabletop minis game. And so we came up with our own where basically you could take anything. Toy soldiers were the easiest thing to do it
right.
with.
Because it's a guy and it's a gun. In fact, we even made it to where that's like the standard.
Yeah, and we kind of use them as our baseline, a guy with an M16 or whatever. And then you have tanks and guys with missile launchers. But then we started incorporating other things. Like, you could use anything. Like, you could use Chad was playing plastic insects.
Yep.
Or
my fire-breathing spiders.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The girl that I was dating at the time, she was playing an army of Halloween decorations, skulls and whatever. And we had it worked out so you could stat all these things and point them out. And it's a fairly complex math to it, but you could play with anything. And it was more sophisticated than, say, Toy Wars.
Yeah.
Point being behind the story. So Chad and I are at some store like Target, Kmart. I don't remember what it was because we were looking for the dollar toys because that's
right.
what we were playing with.
Yeah.
And some guy walks up to us. And is just convinced we're Creed. We're like
the
members
band.
Of Creed. And we're like, what? Like, like we didn't even know how to process because we're just there looking. I don't know why Scott Stapp and Buddy, I don't know which one of us was which.
I had long hair.
Both of us had long hair at the time. Yeah. So I don't know who was whom. But this guy walks up to us and like is convinced we're Creed. And, and we're like,
he's like, you guys are in a band, right? And he's like making the playing guitar motions with his hands.
Yeah,
and he's
like
uh-huh, yeah. And we're like,
my kids are big fan. Like, what?
No.
First of all, why would you presuppose this? And secondly,
neither of us had a Creed tour 96 t-shirt or whatever.
And we didn't have like six hot bitches in tow or something. It's like, why on top of that would Creed be checking out plastic soldiers in the dollar toy aisle? I mean, it just
in the middle of a suburban St. Louis.
It made no sense. But anyway, so we're at sushi tonight.
Yes.
And Chad
and
I,
it's the same guy. No.
And Chad and I we're talking about movies.
Yeah.
And
I was telling Dan about one of my favorite movies that I really, really want him to watch, which is Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah.
And very underrated.
And we were going
movie.
Back and forth talking about all kinds of different movies and movies coming up and movies that are already out and kind of neat behind the scenes sort of stories and such. And this woman sitting at the table next to us turns and says, excuse me, how long have you guys been working in film?
Yeah. Not like, she didn't like, are you guys in movies? You seem to know a lot about them, or make a comment on the movies we're talking about or something. No, instant presupposition of you guys are in movies. You guys are in the filmmaking industry. And it's like, yes, that is why we're in a suburban sushi restaurant on the edge of St. Louis in middle America suburbia, because we are so Hollywood.
Yeah, and there is, of course, a local movie scene here, as there are in
every city. Yeah.
Some major movies do get shot here, not many. And we
White Palace, Red Dragon.
The one about Lambert Airport with George Clooney.
That was an excellent movie, by the way.
But the point being that this is obviously St. Louis is not Hollywood, and it's not New York.
You're right.
And so why she would presuppose that the two of us, who, by the way, we're not talking about how we filmed anything. We're just talking about movie trivia. But somehow she came to the conclusion that we were working like we are in the movie industry. And we're like, no. But I've made a declaration, which is the next time, I don't care who it is. I don't care what they think we are, unless it's something hideous. The next person to presuppose we are something, I'm going with it.
You guys are astronauts, right?
Yes.
Yes.
How long have you guys been in the space program? 15 years. I'm going with it. I'm not. I don't know what it is about Chad. It never happens with anybody else. It's only when I'm hanging out with you that people always think I'm something I'm not.
Yeah. Like radically, off topically, like. Why would you
famously
think that? Famously? Yeah. Why would you think that?
So I'm next time I'm just going with it. I don't care what they think we are. They can think we're freaking Sonny and Cher, and I'm and I'm going with it.
Well, you can't be Sonny. Sonny's dead, but I'll be Cher. That's OK.
Well, I'm a pale white dude. I could be Cher.
You could be Cher. You have a deep voice. You can go bass like she can. So, yeah.
And I just need to auto-tune the podcast. In related news, related to the podcast, not related to doing drag as Cher.
You have to get the flowers tattooed to your ass, though.
No. Dan, don't do ink. Mm. But some people have been asking about the forbidden episodes. Now, as I said on...
You don't do ink, but you will do a Cher drag show. Just as long as there's that line, that delineation.
I've never done a drag show.
Not yet.
Not yet, no. But... some people were asking about the forbidden episodes / negative episodes that I mentioned a show or two back. And so what I'm going to try to do, now, as I said on that show, one of them I can't release because it was a Kickstarter reward promised to one guy. So unless that person gives us permission to release it for ethical reasons, I can't release it. But the other two, one of them I think has lost the sands of time. The other one I know I have. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that has the puke slap story. What I'm going to do is I am not going to put these in the feed because I know there are people that listen in family settings. They play it in their game stores, whatever. And I don't want to blindside them going from PG-13 to NC-17 without any forewarning. But what I will do is check the show notes. If I am able to get these things together, I will have a link to a forum thread where I'll post a download link to those shows. So this will not come across your feed. If you want to hear these episodes, first of all, be forewarned. They are not clean. They are not redeeming. They are not even about gaming. They are just, they are offensive. Okay, whatever. There's a reason we opted not to release them. So you know this getting into it. If you're offended by it, I don't even want to hear it. You've been forewarned. If you want to hear it, go check the show notes and look for a link to the forums where we will have a download posted.
I don't think I'm in any forbidden episode.
I don't think you were the one that might be lost. Mm-hmm. Are you sure you weren't on the more recent one, though, with the puke slap?
Yeah. No, I wasn't. I heard the puke slap story off mics.
But... okay, but you weren't on the show. Yeah. All right. I couldn't. I know Brodor was on that because he was the one that told that story. Mm-hmm. And I remember
of love and romance.
I spent most of the episode aghast, and I don't know that I said a whole lot of anything. But anyway, all right. So topic for today, we're going to talk about people that feel a little bit too bound to their character sheet. Now, here's what we're talking about.
The head down crowd.
Yes.
I hate the head down crowd.
All right. Well, let's explain this a little bit, though. So you're playing a role-playing game. And let's say you're game mastering, and you say you've encountered such and such, okay? And we're assumed not combat because, admittedly, most character sheets are pretty heavily combat oriented, and anything you need for combat's on the sheet.
So you go up to the door, there's a guard by the door.
Yeah, you're going to talk to the guard and you say, so what do you do? And I think everyone does this to some extent.
Sure.
But there are some people that do it to a very great extreme where the first thing they do is look at their character sheet. And Chad, the way you phrased this when we were discussing the topic is they're looking for a button to push.
Right.
They're looking for some feature or function of that character to say, well, I'm talking to a guard. What skill, what piece of gear, what character perk do I have for talking to guard?
Yeah.
Do I have a negotiation skill or a bluff skill? Do I have some kind of mind control spell? Do I have
a fake ID?
Whatever it might be. But the first thing they do is they head down, look at their character sheet.
Yeah.
But in many cases, don't just do that briefly, but seem to stop there. Yeah. They keep looking at that character
sheet.
They can't
look up and they, I don't have anything. I can't do anything. I can't talk to the guy when my intention is just talk to him. I just want to role play it out. Yeah. And the thing is, you do that once or twice. You do that whenever. That's fine. What I'm talking about is have you ever had a person who does this every single time? Like 99% of the encounters, you go up to the elevator. Is the elevator on? I don't know. I have to look at my character sheet to see if the elevator's on or anything. I mean, they can't say, I just do something, or I talk to the guy, or I say this to the guy.
Yeah, like, and sometimes it's power gamers. But I found more often than not, it's not power gamers. Sometimes it is power gamers. But the reason why I think it's not typically power gamers is power gamers already know what's on their character sheet.
This was
part of the design.
Well, and for power gamers, too, the power comes from the combat a lot of times. And it's just like talking to a guard in combat. I can talk to a guard. I can roll. I have played with some excellent role players who are power gamers.
Right.
And they're into the plot, they write a great story, and when the role play situations come up, they RP it out, and they're great. But when it comes time for the dice, get out the rule books, it's on.
But I think it seems to be more often people that are unsure of themselves, because the character sheet makes a fallback.
Yeah.
If you look at most games that we encounter, video games, board games, dice games. I'm not talking role-playing games here. I'm talking like Farkle or something like that. There is always a finite number of
Farkle. You love Farkle.
I do. It's all right. It's all right for short periods. Yeah. It's like Cards Against Humanity or Are You a Werewolf? Yeah. Like I can handle a game or two here and there, but there are some people I know where it's like, I just want to take the freaking five dice and load them into a blunderbuss and let nature take its course. By which I mean shoot them with five dice. but the point being that in all these games, you run into a finite number of choices.
Yeah.
If you're at this point in the game, you can do A, B, C, D, or E. If you want to do F, that's cute. You can't. You've got A through E. With video games, there are only so many dialogue options. There are only so many buttons to press. With board games, there are only so many things you're allowed to do in a turn. If you're playing Puerto Rico, you can't choose to be a role that's not represented by one of the cards. In Carcassonne,
I burned down the other plantation. Yeah. Well,
in Carcassonne, you can't just put down two meeples and say you're killing off the other guy's meeple to grab the castle. It doesn't work this way. You can't do it.
Nor should it.
You're right. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm not bashing these games. But in a role-playing game where you have, maybe not truly infinite, but approaching an infinite number of options, a very large number of options, I think people are still kind of pre-programmed to say, when I don't know what to do, let me consult the rules to see what I could do. And then I'll come back to you with an answer.
Give me some structure to start rolling with this situation.
Right.
And I get that. And on top of that, you have that. You have people who, it's a social function. There's a guard at the door. I want you to role play with the guard. What's on my character sheet? I need a mechanical function. And instead, the game master is desiring a social function from you. Social functions can also be embarrassing. This role-playing thing we do, this is going to sound strange because we all role-play. We all role-play a lot.
Right.
But role-playing can be really embarrassing on a sort of very basic level of, I am putting myself out there. I am pretending to be something I'm not. I'm pretending to be something ridiculous that I'm not, like a wizard or something like that. Yeah. And
I'm not Dan. I'm Lilithilian the elf.
Yeah. And I am interacting with Lilithilian, and, you know, we're telling the story, and it could be a little awkward, and you kind of need to warm to that. I have seen people use the character sheets as a crutch, and there have been games when I have new players, I have to resist the temptation to reach out and take all their character sheets away from them, because they all want that crutch. Not to say character sheets are a crutch. I do think that, but that's a different topic for a different day. In this situation, it's a crutch because they need to warm to that idea of I am role playing.
Right.
And they are looking for something to do. It's like the comedian who needs to stand on stage and they have to have a mic in front of them, or a lecturer who is standing up and they just can't walk around and talk, like in a TED talk, they have to have a podium. And I think that helps people, you know, it's like, maybe I can roll dice, maybe I can do this. They're not trying to get out of it. They're just trying to like rev up to that too. Oh, Lilitharian, hello, well met pale stranger. And you know, all that ridiculous, embarrassing stuff that we do every day, or not every day. Right, I wish we role played every day, but
well, and some games have something kind of like that, but not to that extreme. For example, I believe it's Apocalypse World, where you do have kind of a cheat sheet of what you can do.
Yeah.
But that's not for role-playing. Mm-hmm. That's for the mechanics of the character. And when I was playing Apocalypse World at Fear the Con a year or two ago, it was my first time playing the game. And so when it came up, like, okay, this is what's going on. It's like, well, I want to, because I was playing the medic. It's like, I want to heal the person. What exactly can I do? I had to glance out that sheet. But here we're talking about a mechanical action. We're not talking about role playing. And yeah, I'm with you. I think to some extent, there's a certain amount of social hesitation. Mm-hmm. One of the topics John wants to talk about when he's on the show next is he wants to debate, is there a virtue in excluding strangers from role playing group for that exact reason, to create a level of comfort? And I've got some opinions both for and against, and we'll see where that goes at that point. But yeah, there certainly is that amount of pressure. And I think also as well, I tie it back to some people just don't know what to do with an open-ended question. If you can do anything, I mean, good God, have you ever been in a restaurant behind that idiot who cannot order off of a finite menu?
Yeah.
It's like they can't decide what it is they want.
I totally see that. Like with Dawn, we go to Hoo-Hot, which is a
Mongolian barbecue.
Mongolian barbecue.
Yeah.
Again, proper nouns, not my strong suit. It's Mongolian barbecue, and she hates it. She loves the food, but she hates going there because there's a ton of stuff and she has to put it together herself. And, you know, she has to do all this stuff and then give it to him. It's just like, it's too much. She just wants to go to a restaurant, sit down, order off a menu, relax and talk.
Let's back up to a somewhat more foundational question here. Now that we've kind of defined what we're talking about, is it a problem? And if so, why or why not?
Yeah, this is something that we were kind of talking about. Is this a problem or is this just something that annoys Chad? When I run a game or when I play a game, I like a flow. I like, well, this happens. What do you do? Well, my character does this. The guard says this. And then we do a, like this role play back and forth. And then another character comes in and they start role playing. And then I like kind of take my hands off and let the scene play out. And then I poke it and let the scene kind of go on. And then we move on to something else. And to me, what happens, why it's a problem for me, is because there's this flow going and I look at the player and I'm like, and there's the guard in front of the door. And then full stop, slam on the brakes, shuffle around, look for their character sheet, and then they start looking at their character sheet. Well, can I bluff him? Like, well, why don't you try and talk to him? Oh, is that diplomacy? Like, no, it's called talking.
At least tell me what you're saying, and I'll tell you if you need a roll.
Yeah.
That's...
And again, not a one-time thing,
right?
But constant,
yeah.
99% of the time.
And that's where I think I'd go as well. If somebody wants to consult their character sheet, fine, whatever.
That's what it's there for.
Your character is your abstraction of you within this game. And so I don't think that's necessarily a problem. I think it speaks to a problem. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that somebody feels confined by their character sheet.
Yeah.
That to them, all of the answers are on that sheet or they don't exist. And that, to me, is the problem that it speaks to. And I've dealt with some people, and once again, this isn't common, but I've dealt with some people where when they go head down, If they don't see anything on the character sheet that moves them, if they don't see a button to push, then they're going to shrug off the situation, be like, I don't know. They're not going to do anything further. If somebody is in that situation, I think really there's two things that I would advise. One is say, look, if you really feel that constrained by your character, one, at the very least, learn your character a little better so you don't have to sit there and stare at the sheet. But even that aside, I would really try to encourage them to not do that so much. Right. I mean, I wouldn't try to take it from, I wouldn't take their sheet away.
Yeah.
But it'd be like, no, no, no. Just look up, talk to me. I'm not going to kill your character.
Yet.
Yet. The fate of the universe does not hinge on this.
Yet.
Yet. Somebody just wanted to know what donut you wanted.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. Just tell me and let's keep going. And I think I would also encourage the person to stop thinking of the character as a template and really make sure they know who this person is.
Yeah.
Because if they're looking at the template, this also kind of sets a red flag in my mind that says maybe they've reduced their character to what he or she is, not who he or she is.
Yeah, the character sheet is a collection of, depending on your system, a collection of numbers and skills and abstraction. It isn't the definition of your character. It's just how far they can run and how fast they can run and how hard they can punch somebody and if they have a granola bar in their backpack. Really, that is about it, unless you're playing some completely left field system, but that's beside the point. Really, I would almost rather a person not look at their character. If they're going to go head down 99% of the time, they not look at their character sheet, but look at their character write-up.
Yes.
I would be annoyed because, again, we're at that full stop moment, but it's just like, well, at least that's role play. At least they're trying to get into the
character. Well, some people have a little bit of trouble staying in character.
Do I hate guards?
Yeah,
guards kill my parents.
Or maybe they just kind of need their refresher. Yeah. What does my character think about this? Or I know I've had to go heads down on that a few times because there will be some of us like, wow, at this point, my character would definitely draw this into what happened with his brother, but I don't remember exactly how that story went.
There was a situation where we were playing in a two or three shot and Beth was running the game. And I had this really, you ever get one of those tears where it's like, oh, this is a nothing game. It's only like one game. It's a one shot or maybe a two shot. Just throw a character together. And then you're just like, ding, and you type up like this gigantic backstory and stuff that will never ever come into play, but you just get on this tear. I did that for this game, and I programmed in tons of hooks, lots and lots of hooks. I don't know why. It's something clicked with me.
You recycle later.
Yeah, exactly. And Beth was like, oh my God, this is great. I can incorporate all this stuff in the game. And it turned the game into like a two or three parter. And there was a length of time we had to skip a couple of games, and Beth did her big reveal, and it was really good. It was this big reveal, and dun dun dun, it's your wife. My character doesn't have a wife, Beth. What? And I'm like, her eyes go real wide. And I'm like, she's like, what? And I'm like, all of a sudden my eyes go real wide. And I'm like, oh my God, did I just forget my character had a wife? And she's like, did I read it wrong? Because we had emailed it back and forth. We're both pulling up our phones, like trying to find the email. I'm like, oh my God, what just happened here? And then it's like, no, it's the daughter. Yes, the daughter. And she's like, okay, let's rewind 30 seconds. Dun, 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 it's your daughter. And all the other players are like, what is going on? What are you two doing?
You know, as a game master, when I'm prepping a game, I look through the character write-ups, and I don't pretend to be able to memorize them all.
No,
but what I do is I simply write character name, player name, and then I note, okay, here's three things I can work with. And then, you know, same thing, next person, here's two or three things I can work with. I will refer back to those. But the thing is, what I've latched on to may or may not be obvious to the person playing the character. I may find something like they didn't realize they gave me a gold mine and what they thought was a throwaway comment. And one of the things I always tell my players, I said, you better know your backgrounds because I do. That doesn't mean I got to memorize, but I'm going to pull something out. And if I'm like, hey, it's Theseus. And you're like, who's Theseus? God damn it.
You know, it's dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Really? Go pull up your own character right up. We're going to do Wii Bowling. Let's pick this up next time. The other angle that we had talked about this from was the angle of a game master.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes game masters get stuck in this too, where the players do something they don't expect, or maybe even something they did expect, but they do the same thing. If they go heads down mm-hmm. into the NPC stat sheet, the monster manual, their game notes. And I understand, once again, you have to do it to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, you know, I try to hit the golem. Well, okay, what's a golem's armor class? I mean, all right, you need to check that. I get that.
Yeah.
But it's more like they throw something at you you didn't expect that should not otherwise fall back upon the rules. Mm-hmm. And yet the game master does the same thing. Look at the plot notes, the monster's manual, whatever, looking for a button to press.
Mm-hmm.
My best advice on this is I have found it is so much better for the game to just approximate.
Yes.
And as long as you're not being an ass, as long as you're not intentionally trying to make something way too easy or way too hard to get a result you want, I've never had a problem with it. I mean, like, if the people in my game say, okay, I'm going to shoot at somebody I didn't expect them to shoot to,
I'm going to kick down a door.
Or I'm going to try to
bluff the guard.
The guard. Whatever. It doesn't have to be violent. I'll just say, okay, well, I know in this game, average for human is this. This guy's a little above or below average, so I'm going to roll this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a sheet I'm looking off of. Yeah, but it's close enough, and
a really good GM secret that you should never, ever, ever tell your players? Say you come to the guard, and we do the role-playing bit, and then you're like, all right, I'm going to bluff the guard. Okay, roll a d20. And you roll it. If it's high, you succeed. If it's low, you fail. If it's somewhere in the middle, then you pull out the sheets. Then you're like, well, yeah, this guy is more average, and he's really bad at bluffing.
I stopped doing that, and here's why. My own analysis paralysis. Because I can't decide. I mean, if you roll a 1 or a 20, I know what that means.
Sure.
You roll a 13?
What does that mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
if
not.
You're,
and so I've found, for me, it works better to name the number up front. Say, roll your whatever. I want to see a 15. Mm-hmm. Now, where did that 15 come from?
Your butt.
My butt, exactly. Now, it was butt-stimated. It wasn't, it's not just completely random. There is some kind of educated guess in there.
Mm-hmm.
I did have some idea of, okay, this is a somewhat above average sort of thing. Sure. Whatever, depending on the game. But I didn't necessarily pull out manuals and character sheets and all this other kind of crap to work it out. It's just like, well, this is roughly how difficult I think it should be. And I, that's close enough, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not worth that. Because, you talk about that screeching halt moment of when somebody goes heads down their hair. She's, what do you think is when the game master does? On top of that, look, a player can pause the game. A game master shuts down the table.
Yeah, yeah. At least the player has probably one sheet of paper. So they're scanning that, and then they get it, and then they move on. The game master, he's got a notebook. He's got his notes. He's got his photocopied stuff. He's got all these game manuals. He's got a lot more material
even
to file.
Finding that sheet can be an undertaking. Even in a relatively small number of notes, it's fairly easy to just keep missing that one sheet you're looking for because you feel the heat's on a little bit.
Tempo is more important than precision.
Yes, I would agree 90-some-odd percent of the time. I mean, there's going to be those times where it's like, wow, okay, you and the bad guy are both falling off the cliff and reached for the same one route.
Yeah.
What?
Or
we need to know.
Yeah.
We cannot.
Or like the Hobbit, the city guard guy, the hunter guy. He has the black arrow, and there is Smaug, and he is drawing it back. You kind of want to, if he hits, you want him to know he hit. If he misses, he misses. You don't want to butt-stimate that out.
I'll work out a better writing together.
Oh no, I like that.
Butt-stimate.
Butt-stimate. Better than astimate. No, actually, I take that back. I kind of like astimate.
Really?
Yeah, I do like astimate.
I don't know.
It rolls off the tongue.
But butt-stimate at least has the S-T in there from estimate. But I guess ass has the S.
Yeah, astimate. I don't know. We'll have to put it up as a poll. Buttstimate or astimate?
Yeah. Because you like ascertain.
Mm-hmm.
But ascertain would be more than estimation. You know, that, right. That, right. So, yeah.
Mm. 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 Buffalo.
Ah, jinx. Now you can't talk for the next several episodes.
What am I, Pat?
Yeah. Anyway.
By the way, Pat's been on this episode the entire time.
Yeah, he has.
That's my Pat.
Porn. So, anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. I think we're going to go ahead and... I butt-stimated that this is sufficient for this episode. So.
Don't we have this rule that if a host isn't on, we have to, like, mock them and try and get people to send furry porn to them? And, like, all the hosts except
what am I
us?
Supposed to... Yeah, dude, I... It'd be a show unto itself because out of 8 hosts, we've got 2. So,
I'm sick. I'm busy. I'm having a wedding. I live 1,000 miles away. I live 1,000 more miles away. I didn't get on the forums today. Yeah.
Everyone's got some lousy ass.
You know what? I clear Tuesdays. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, you know, Tuesdays. And I appreciate that because we record on Tuesdays. We've been recording on Tuesday nights for probably about, like, what, 5 or 6 years of the show's run. Mm-hmm. But... every Tuesday, it seems to be like a shock that we have a recording.
Oh, no. What?
There we go.
I must clear my social calendar.
There we go. I guess instead of furry porn, I just went ahead and blindsided the heroes. My bully pulpit.
There you go. Yes.
So, however, thank all of you for tuning in.
Thanks for you guys showing
up. Yeah, because you guys remembered to go ahead and hit subscribe on your aggregator or come and check the site every week. We have people who do both. I don't care. The point is you came to us, and we appreciate that. We love you for it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for tuning in. Have a great week, great games, and we will catch you next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2014. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.